Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 240, the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts on the latest news and entertainment updates. I am your host, Ray Taylor, and every Thursday I'll be bringing you fresh perspectives on a variety of topics. In this episode, I am talking about the Walgreens security guard who murdered a trans organizer, Banco Brown, and the DA that is refusing to file charges. I'm also going to be talking about Mr. quote-unquote free speech himself, the Twitter censorship since Elon Musk took over is even more rampant than it was before he took over. So not as much freedom of speech since Mr. Freedom of Speech took over, which there's a study that I'm going to be referencing. And the third story is all about the fascist in Florida. Ron DeSantis signs new anti-immigration bill in Florida and immediately sees the consequences. Those are the three stories I am talking about in this episode of Swipe Up. So let's get into it. Walgreens security guard murders trans organizer Banco Brown as he left the store. I don't know if anybody's seen the video. I saw the video. I watched it, right? You got to watch it to see, right? Why? How did the security guard handle this? Walgreens, we know about all the high ticket items they sell at Walgreens. I mean, it's like a luxury drugstore. Every product in Walgreens costs at least $100, so who knows how many thousands of dollars were being stolen from Walgreens. Well, I'm sure the person stealing the merchandise from Walgreens was really threatening the other person, maybe a lot of physical intimidation, right? Maybe that security guard was really felt like they were at risk, right? It was either shoot the shoplifter or maybe die yourself. Maybe that's what it is. So I watched it, and that's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Security guard had complete and utter control at every moment. Security guard let Brown up. Brown walked out the door, and as soon as Brown walked out the door, security guard pulled his gun and shot him. And let me tell you, I worked at a job where we had loss prevention. We had security, private security, same thing. And we sold a lot more at a Costco I used to work. And I worked in the electronics department at Costco, which, if anybody's been to a Costco, is the first department when people walk in. It's also a department with a lot of high-priced items. So loss prevention hung out in my department a lot. So I know a lot about loss prevention, and I know a lot about how they deal with stuff. And let me tell you, the way this security guard dealt with this situation is something I've never seen a security guard ever do in my entire life. Obviously. Doesn't happen. Not supposed to handle like this. The video captures the guard tackling, punching, and ultimately shooting Brown as he leaves the store. The surveillance footage released by the district attorney's office does not have sound and shows the guard blocking Brown from leaving the store, engaging in a physical altercation with him, and ultimately shooting him in the chest as he steps out onto the busy street. The district attorney's office announced that no charges will be filed against the guard, deeming the shooting was as reasonable, quote-unquote, reasonable, which has sparked outrage and protests in the community, obviously. The security guard's excuse was that Brown said he was going to stab him. Of course, the video has no audio, so you can't corroborate that. The only thing protecting the security guard is self-defense, right? That's the only basis for it, and it's his word. Because the only other person involved in that altercation is no longer alive. I want to know what items. What was this security guard protecting Walgreens from losing? Which, by the way, businesses lose stuff all the time. Not only from being stolen, but just things get damaged. It is like they write off so much stuff. It's a tax write-off for them. They don't care. Unless it's like, I think it has to be over $500, then you can charge them with the crime. But generally, loss prevention is just trying to get the merchandise back. That's it. But you don't see them tackling them. In many cases, they're not allowed to. I mean, it depends on the store, the city. There's a lot of, so maybe in San Francisco, maybe Walgreens, they don't care. They allow them to do that. But they wouldn't have allowed loss prevention to do that. Generally, loss prevention has to wait for the person to exit the building before you can even consider what they're doing stolen. Because walking around inside a store with merchandise isn't shoplifting. It's only after you leave the store. But another thing loss prevention guys know, they know the homeless people in the area. They know the regulars that come to the store. And Banco Brown, homeless, probably lives in that area. Seems like that security guard not only knew Banco Brown, but knew Banco was trans, female to male trans. Judging by the fact that when he is being interviewed and interrogated about the situation, he refers to Banco as a woman. So probably, if I had to guess, no proof of this, but wouldn't surprise me considering the reaction to it, I would imagine the security guard believes in the right-wing propaganda and is very transphobic and didn't value Brown's life, clearly. So a community of people, not only the trans community, but also the homeless community, which so many conservatives seem to not really deem their life as valuable whatsoever. If given the opportunity, I would place a large amount of money on conservatives, if given the opportunity to exterminate homeless people, to exterminate trans people, to exterminate anybody that doesn't fit into whatever categories they deem to be quote-unquote normal. Whatever doesn't fit into their religious standards of existence. Would not be surprised. Put my money on it. Would not be surprised if the security guard believed in very similar values to many other Republicans. Because what you see, the altercation, you see Brown going to leave and the security guard blocking Brown. Okay, sure. Brown kind of trying to get through. Clearly Brown much less physically intimidating than the security guard. Security guard not budging at all. And then the security guard decides to start throwing punches. By the way, Brown didn't start the physical altercation, aside from just trying to push past the security guard, never throwing punches. And once the punches are being thrown at Brown, basically goes to the ground, turtles up. Not really an experienced fighter, it seems. So one reason the security guard had zero reason to be afraid for his life with that person has zero combat abilities. There's also cut to the security guard on top of Brown, on Brown's back, rear naked choke. For those that don't know, is when you have the back of your opponent and you put your arm around their neck and you go to choke them out. I would imagine Brown was saying that maybe he couldn't breathe, which is one of the reasons why generally that choke cuts off the blood circulation. But, you know, maybe the security guard doesn't know proper technique or whatever and could have just been cutting off the air supply. And we all know how many people have died by being choked. by not being able to breathe. So maybe that was the reason why the security guard got off of Brown. But the security guard does get off of Brown. It's not like Brown was able to push the security guard off and get to his feet on his own. Security guard just stands up and lets Brown get up and walk out. And apparently, you know, kind of is like, what's up? What's up? Kind of a thing. And that's when the security guard shot him. Like, if you look at this, there's no point at which the security guard is ever in any harm. Has complete control, seemingly, of every moment of that situation. And then lets Brown get up. Assumingly, to just be, it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to let you up so then I can shoot you. I'll be able to justify shooting you. Which, by the way, people that were there, the witnesses that were there, never heard this mysterious threat of being stabbed. Never seemed like Brown was going for a weapon at any time. And was walking out of the building. And the reason why a lot of private security companies don't physically have physical altercations with people, I mean, one, sometimes they're wrong, and people who are shoplifting dump stuff. If they think somebody's following them, they'll dump stuff. So usually they have to be 100% that they actually have something, and usually has to be at a high enough price point for them to even give a shit. But generally, physical altercations, you could be sued. And to avoid lawsuits, they try to discourage that. But that's depends. There's a lot of things. I don't think there's any law preventing what the security guard did, but ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, to everybody that feels that that act was justifiable, they just tell the world that they don't value human life. What could have been stolen from Walgreens? What possibly, it seemed like just a bag of groceries. Brown was homeless. Maybe it was like medicine, but we don't know. Go into a Walgreens. You're not going into like some high-end retail store. Who cares? Who cares? Who's this security guard armed? Who has a gun when you're protecting Walgreens? Ridiculous. What are we doing? This thing with guns. What are you doing? You just want an opportunity to use this gun. To use the tool for its purpose. To shoot a bullet and end a life. And you just want an opportunity to arise to allow you to justify in you doing that. Because it's not, guns don't protect you. Soldiers get shot, police get shot, trained people who are armed get shot all the time. Owning a gun doesn't protect you from being shot. It's just people that own guns have a delusional idea that somehow they're going to get a shot off before the person that wants to kill them. As if the person that wants to kill them is going to like challenge them to a duel to give them equal time and space to draw their weapons and shoot. It is just this delusional, fictional mindset people have, where if a good guy with a gun actually did anything to protect people, then there would be so many examples of it because so many people have guns. But that is not what we see. We see issues like in Uvalde where there's hundreds of armed law enforcement people, armed and trained, doing absolutely nothing except for stopping all the parents from trying to do something. This good guy with a gun bullshit is ridiculous. It is the dumbest delusional thinking. If more guns equaled less shootings, this country would have no shootings. Because no other country has as many guns as we do. And the idea of like, oh, criminals will still get a gun. All of these mass shootings are being done by people who are legally obtaining guns. When assault rifles were banned previously, there was a decrease in gun violence, in mass shootings. Like, there are so many studies and so much proof to say that guns are horrible for this situation that we're in, are directly linked to the amount of people that are being slaughtered daily by guns. And that's not even to say this security guard who thinks he's protecting Walgreens, like Walgreens is some mom and pop shop. Walgreens could shut down that store and not notice. These are like major corporations. You think somebody, that entire store could be looted and Walgreens is still going to turn a profit. It's just this idea in this country that we protect property and value property more than human life. People getting killed, they always find justification. And it's stupid. And it's like, anytime somebody is killed, all the person who killed them has to say is, self-defense. I feared for my life. Look at every cop that shoots an unarmed person. I thought they had a gun. Meanwhile, so many instances, no gun. Could be a child, man, woman, doesn't matter. I'm so fragile. I thought it was gonna. But then there's a mass shooter who's literally armed and literally just killed a bunch of people. Somehow the police effortlessly are able to detain that person with no incident. So it's like they have the ability to do it. They just want the excuse to kill somebody, like this security guard did. And it's absolutely ridiculous. The fact that he's not even like, at least with like police, you understand that they have like this massive union. They have qualified immunity. Like, there are things that shouldn't exist, but they do exist, that keep a lot of police from facing criminal charges. But this is some private security guard guy. And the only reason he's not being charged is because somebody watched the security video and was like, yeah, that's reasonable reaction. We should really just shoot people that are trying to steal groceries. We should really end the lives of homeless people that are trying to steal groceries. Because that's where our priority should be in this country. It's absolutely insane. Anyway. Bunch of stuff. Ridiculous. Source for that, TheGuardian.com. Let's take a quick break right now to talk about, are you a fan of original artwork and live events? Look no further than the Many Faces series by Ray Taylor and the weekly live stream over at youtube.com/inspireddisorder. This ongoing series explores the endless possibilities of the human face through abstract ink paintings on paper, capturing unique expressions of emotion, mood, tone, and energy in just a few minimal features. Join me every Thursday at 4:20 Pacific time as I paint live. Follow the Many Faces series and discover the endless possibilities of the human face. Don't miss out on this opportunity to be part of the action and own a piece of original artwork by me, Ray Taylor. Head to youtube.com/inspireddisorder every Thursday to catch the live stream, and visit inspireddisorder.com to browse and purchase the Many Faces artwork. And now, let's get back to the show. Let's move on. Second story. Mr. Free Speech himself. Twitter censorship more rampant under Elon Musk. Study conducted by MRC, Free Speech America, which is a conservative group, by the way. So this is a conservative group, did a study and found Elon Musk to be censoring more accounts than previous ownership of Twitter. So for all the conservatives out there that want to defend Elon Musk, this is your group. Now, how they decide to define these findings of why their explanation of why there's more censorship is because the same kind of woke that Twitter is, there's rebellious employees within Twitter that are doing it, which is stupid, which I'll get into that. This Media Research Center, which is a conservative media watchdog, the study claims that Twitter censorship has risen under Elon Musk's leadership compared to the previous regime. The MCR Free Speech America documented 293 cases of censorship between November 4th of 2022 and March 4th of 2023, which is 67 more cases than the 226 cases documented during the same period the year before. The severity of censorship has allegedly increased as well. In 84% of the documented cases under Musk's leadership, Twitter locked users' accounts, requiring them to delete content to regain their accounts. In contrast to the previous regime, had locked accounts of in only 60% of the cases. So 60% up to 84% of the cases. The study claims that the significant percentage of documented censorship cases under Elon Musk's leadership were related to tweets containing hate speech directed at the trans community, which we saw when Elon Musk took over. There was a massive spike in hate speech because that's the freedom of speech he wants to protect. He wants to protect hate speech. So because of, so this is kind of interesting, as where it's like, okay, I kind of understand why he would be more censoring more accounts. Because there's a lot more hate speech going on, an exponential more. I would imagine the percentage, if we were to track the percentage of hate speech pre-Elon Musk and how much of that hate speech was blocked versus the percentage of hate speech that was blocked after Elon Musk took over, I would imagine it's gone down. I would imagine a lot more people on Twitter are getting away with hate speech than before, but there's just far more of it. That's why we're seeing a numerical increase. And the severity would make sense because hate speech, threatening people's lives, things of that nature, probably more conducive with a harsher punishment. So, but that's not all, Elon Musk. So, yeah, technically more censorship with Elon Musk. Of course, the right-wing people that did the study, they say that the higher amounts of censorship is, they're blaming it not on Elon Musk, but they're blaming it on the employees that still work on Twitter, work at Twitter, that are rebelling against Elon Musk and who are attacking, right? Because conservatives want to be the martyr. They're attacking the conservatives for their anti-trans rhetoric, which they describe as like this infection of transness, because they don't think it's natural in people to identify as something other than what is in their pants. Apparently they don't think spectrums exist when it comes to gender or sexuality or anything, that everything is binary in their view. Everything is black and white. So of course they think it's a retaliation for them. We need the freedom to be hate speeched. Musk has taken action to address the censorship issue, such as unsuspending all of the major hate speech accounts like Trump and Kanye, and promoted transparency through Twitter files. Twitter restricted access to certain content. So also, there's a more serious type of censorship that Elon Musk is doing. So technically more censorship in the U.S. because an exponential amount of hate speech in the U.S. because he took over. But there is serious censorship that Musk is doing in other countries like Turkey, where he's siding with authoritarian leaders in order to censor any kind of information. He's done this, just made a deal with Turkey, but he's also done this in like India. And this move has raised, with Twitter, has raised concerns about freedom of speech, democracy, and fair elections. Musk has been willing to comply with requests from foreign governments and to crack down on users that they oppose. Under Musk's leadership, Twitter has reportedly approved censorship in orders of higher rate, particularly in countries like Turkey and India. Musk's willingness to comply with government requests may be motivated by the importance of these markets for Twitter's operation. Obviously, India, massive population of people. They banned TikTok, so Twitter is one of the few that still exist. So they are playing ball because Musk is desperate to save this garbage fire that is Twitter. So he's willing to bow down to whatever authoritarians want to silence any kind of dissenters. So interesting that, like, yeah, technically, I mean, in America, censorship on the rise, or there's more of it because there's exponentially more. I would imagine far less hate speech is being censored than previously, despite because there's so much. But as far as other countries, Musk has zero problem allowing governments to dictate what can and what can't be posted on Twitter. And I'm sure if a Republican gets an office in the United States, he will 100%. That's why they want to block TikTok in the United States, is because they know Facebook and Twitter will do whatever they want. So if somebody like Trump wants to be the first American dictator, Twitter and Facebook will gladly help him spread whatever propaganda and misinformation he wants. So interesting that it's interesting that a conservative research group found that there was more censorship since Musk. They were willing to admit Musk is censoring people. But their explanation for it, because it's their people that are spreading hate speech against one of the smallest minorities in the group, the transgender community, they think they're the ones that are being attacked. They're the martyrs. And I would imagine the majority of those accounts are burner accounts anyway, because they tend to hide behind burner accounts because they know they're saying the worst kinds of shit. Like, I just got my life threatened the other day on TikTok from a burner account that's stalking some woman. The only account this person follows is some woman, so I don't know what they're stalking that woman for, but didn't like the fact that I talked about Trump in the way I did in the last swipe up. Anyway, the sources for this story, censortrack.org and slate.com. Let's take a quick break from this episode to talk about attention all Ray Taylor Show fans. We're excited to announce we've just released a line of exclusive merchandise featuring original artwork inspired by the show. Our high quality shirts and biodegradable phone cases are a perfect way to show your support for the show and make a great gift for any fan. Plus, with each purchase, you'll be helping us continue to bring you great content. So don't wait, head on over to inspireddisorder.com now and check out the full collection. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll show your support by grabbing some Ray Taylor Show merchandise today. And now, let's get back to the show. Moving on to the third and final story. Florida immediately sees the consequences of the new anti-immigration law. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the new immigration legislation into law that could affect employment and health care for those who without proper documentation. The law expands requirements for use of the E-Verify, a system that determines if employees can legally work in the U.S., and imposes tougher penalties for knowingly hiring or transporting undocumented in their state. The new immigration laws signed by Governor DeSantis in Florida have sparked concern amongst immigrant advocates in Central Florida. These advocates have been actively opposing the passage of these laws for months, but are now shifting their focus towards educating people on how to navigate the new regulations. The impact of these laws extends beyond the approximately 775,000 immigrants without documentation in the state and affects all Floridians, as we've seen. One of the concerns raised is that the laws will create barriers for individuals seeking medical attention. The transportation of individuals without documentation in Florida is now considered a felony. So if you are an Uber or Lyft driver and your passenger can't prove their citizenship, you, the driver, can be charged with a felony. Hospitals are required to collect immigration status from patients. So if you're sick and you have melanin in your skin, make sure you have your documentation. It doesn't matter if your parents, if you've lived in this country for generations, doesn't matter. If you look like you are from somewhere else, you have to prove your citizenship before you get medical treatment. So if you have any kind of melanin in your skin, make sure you have your papers, because that's the world DeSantis is making in Florida. Anybody that's not pale is going to have to prove their citizenship. Meanwhile, if you're Canadian or Russian, you're from the UK, you're from Australia, maybe don't speak in an accent, but I don't think they would even care. They're clearly targeting specific people. And it's hilarious, all of the conservatives, the Latino conservative community in Florida, how their elected officials, the party they select, is going to make their lives a living hell. Because they don't know. You can't tell somebody what they voted for just because of their skin color, but that's what they're attacking. That's exactly what they're attacking. Businesses are penalized for hiring individuals who are in the country legally. So you can see construction sites empty, service industry, hotels, resorts empty, no staff, farms, right? Crops just dying, rotting in the ground because there's nobody there to pick the crops. And you definitely don't see any of these white people that are crying about their jobs being stolen, you know, picking themselves up by their bootstraps and going to do all that work. Not seeing any of that happening. Advocates argue that these laws will lead to a labor shortage as immigrants play a significant role in industries such as agriculture, construction, hospitality, and healthcare, which are crucial to Florida's economy. So now is the time we all see those racials cry, the racists who cry about immigrants taking their jobs, not doing anything. You see TikToks of truckers that are boycotting shipping anything into or out of Florida, not wanting to drive in Florida. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're legal or not. Just being a human being with brown skin is enough for them to harass you. Enough for them where you have to prove. It doesn't matter if you've lived in America for generations. Your great-great-great-grandparents are from America. Because you have melanin in your skin, you must now in Florida prove you are a citizen, whether you want to ride in an Uber, whether you want to get medical, whether you're driving down the street. DeSantis thinks this will save the taxpayer money, but in reality, it will crush the economy. It will kill tourism. And he's still in a fight with Disney, too, who just shut down massive development. Like, anybody that thinks Ron DeSantis is a good politician, is doing what's best for society. Anybody that thinks Ron DeSantis is a reasonable choice for president, Joe Rogan, fascist Joe Rogan, you're insane. You're insane. I don't know what kind of propaganda you're seeing to make you think that DeSantis is a good choice, but it's clearly not working out well for him. And I would say, there's an independent movie called A Day Without a Mexican, a satirical comedy, drama film released in 2004. The film explores the hypothetical scenario of what would happen if all of the Mexicans in California suddenly disappeared. Another state I live in, that has a lot of agriculture, the entertainment industry, the hotel resort industries, all these kind of same industries that also exist in California. We benefit from immigrants far more than most states, but it's handled, right? We're not making them, we're not like making their existence unlivable, right? Great movie though. But everybody, all the Mexicans disappeared, leaving the state residents, authorities, and businesses in a state of, like, if you want to see what DeSantis is turning Florida into, watch this movie, because this is what's happening, right? Because all these businesses, confused, chaos. The film takes a humorous and thought-provoking approach to examine the social, economic, and cultural impact of the Mexicans have on California and the United States as a whole. The state's agricultural industry collapses as crops go unharvested, Mexico, leading to food shortages and economic turmoil. Businesses struggle to find employees to fill vacant positions, highlighting the significant role Mexicans play in the labor force. The film also sheds light on the stereotypes, prejudices, and misconceptions that surround the Mexican community. Overall, A Day Without a Mexican offers an imaginative exploration into the consequences that would arise if an entire demographic suddenly vanished, using comedy to address deeper social issues. Leave it to the Republican Party to turn their reality into a comedy. Whereas Trump created Idiocracy, DeSantis is creating A Day Without a Mexican. Sources for this story is WESH.com. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. Please join the conversation by leaving a comment or rating on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube. And I'll see you next Thursday for more unfiltered opinions and fresh perspectives. And remember, if you don't agree with me, you don't have to threaten to shoot me. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere our podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to